Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. There is a verdict in the James Whitey Bulger trial, guilty on most, but not all, of the charges against him. After more than 30 hours of deliberating, jurors today said that they found Bulger guilty on all but one of the criminal charges against him. The jurors also decided that the government proved that Bulger was responsible for 11 of the 19 murders with which he was charged. Well, joining us to talk about the verdict is WBUR's David Boeri. Hello there, David.
Hi, Deb.
David, is this the final chapter in the saga of Whitey Bulger?
No, and it would be imprudent to call this the final chapter. It is the longest running saga in the English language, it seems, and there are several more steps to go in it, so it is not over yet.
Tell us about what it was like in court, David. The reaction from Bulger as those verdicts were read, and also the reaction from the family members of the 19 people that Bulger is charged with murdering.
A dramatic contrast. From Bulger, it was the same behavior, the same affected sense of nonchalance we've seen throughout the trial. No visible reaction. He stood there and on it rolled, and there was no reaction. On the other hand, the tension amongst the families of the murder victims was palpable, and as the verdict was read by a clerk whose voice was trembling as she read it count by count, and then racketeering act after racketeering act, it was horrifying to them, because the first six predicate acts of murder the jury found not proven, and you could see people just crushed. They were moaning in the benches there. They were quietly moaning. They were outraged, and it rolled over them in shock. And then we started seeing it turn. There were two provens, and they continued with only one other count. I'm sorry, with one other predicate act, that of the murder of Debbie Davis, in which the jurors found that they had come to no conclusion. But it was stunning to see, and although the 31 out of the 32 charges getting a guilty would seem to be overwhelming, it was on those murder acts, those crimes themselves, where the damage was done. And one of the prosecutors came out of that room and said to another, they clearly did not believe John Matarano's testimony. John Matarano was one of the key government witnesses.
Mm-hmm. So it was the credibility of Matarano that led to many of these not proven findings, they believe anyway, on the part of the jury.
Yeah, and those were the early murders. There was not, as Carmen Ortiz, the U.S. attorney, pointed out later on, there was not a lot of evidence in these particular crimes. And so they were relying heavily on Matarano, who was the chief trigger man in most of them. And so there it was, but the jury also was sophisticated enough to believe his testimony on others, and so to find contrary, that he did prove the case. Was believable on other crimes.
Now, you mentioned the murder of Deborah Davis. In that particular murder, that was the only one of the 19 where jurors returned a no finding. After that verdict was read outside of federal court, her brother, Stephen Davis, reacted. We have a piece of tape of him reacting. Let's listen to Stephen Davis talking about the no finding decision from the jury in the James Whitey Bulger trial for the murder of his sister, Deborah Davis.
I don't want to ever hear closure. I don't believe in closure because I got to live every day. My family has to live every day. And the rest of the families have to live every day with the fact that they lost a loved one. They can't bring them back. I can't use the closure on that. I have to take it as it comes.
That's Stephen Davis, brother of Deborah Davis. Mm-hmm. He also, David, mentioned not being a rat. How much of that do you think was prevalent in all of this and the fear of Whitey Bulger being considered a quote-unquote rat? Was that a big deal?
Well, it certainly played large to Bulger. It played large for the defense. The jurors clearly didn't like some of the defense witnesses. But, you know, it is what it is. By the way, Davis also said, and it's important to note, Deb, that if he were a juror, he wouldn't have come up with a verdict given what they had on his sister either. I thought that was a huge concession and a gracious one.
Right, right. So what would you say, David, in terms of, you know, was the government the clear winner here because of the 31 guilty verdicts on 32 counts? Did the defense make any headway? I mean, how would you categorize it if you could?
Can we hear J.W. Carney here?
We certainly can.
I don't think he expected that nine times the jury would come back and say not guilty or not proven. It was important to him that the government corruption be exposed, and important to him that people see firsthand the deals that the government was able to make with certain people.
So Carney here is saying his client did well given everything. Carmen Ortiz, the U.S. attorney, was on the defensive about deal making, but she also said this was a deal that needed to be made because of who Bulger was, and she defended it, and she said they were successful in stopping probably the most vicious person in the history of local law enforcement. So she is defending that, but she was on the defensive as the defense had wanted to put the government all along.
Hmm. Now, what's next, David? Formal sentencing scheduled in November? What's going to happen there? I'm imagining victim impact statements and whatnot.
That will be the drama, and that will be the only drama. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. Bulger will be sentenced to life plus 30. The 30 is on a mandatory charge of using a machine gun in a crime. It was unregistered as well. So it's life plus 30 for him. There's no question. That's the drama is in the presentation, the fact that the families of his victims, where he has been found to have committed those murders, will be able to address him. And he also will be able to speak then and take the stand. He'll get a pulpit there if he wants one.
And when will we find out, David, if his incarceration will change? Will he move from Plymouth to a federal facility now?
Once the sentencing formalizes the conviction. And once the sentencing takes place, he has formally been convicted and off he'll go. But the next step for Bulger, Deb, clearly he has a road south. And that road is going to go to two states, one of two states. There's Florida and there's Oklahoma. Both are death penalty states. He has been charged with first-degree murder in both states. I think you'll find that Oklahoma is more serious and more intent on bringing him to trial because it was in Oklahoma, where his murder, the murder he was convicted of today, the murder of Roger Wheeler, shut down the largest employer in the city. 4,000 people lost their jobs because that company went into the tanks a year after Wheeler was murdered. It is a huge black cloud over that community. I think that's where he's more likely to go. And again, they're dealing with the death penalty, perhaps.
All right, WBUR's David Boeri, who's been following the Whitey Bulger trial verdict return today. Stay with us. We'll have continuing coverage of this and continuing analysis of what it means. David, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.